I want to talk to you today about living victoriously in the unshakable kingdom, living victoriously in the unshakable kingdom. The danger is real. Fear is a choice. Danger is real, but fear is a choice. And the reason why I included that phrase, I shared with some of you, it really was a phrase that I heard in a movie that I saw where the character was saying to his son, you have to be clear on one thing, danger is real, but fear is a choice. And the reason why that statement is important to us is because of all the things that we're hearing and many of the things that we're seeing right now. But when you know that you're a part of God's unshakable kingdom, you should be able to live in a place of victory and confidence no matter what. There are times for all of us when we may be shook up a little bit in the moment, but I just say to you, pull yourself together. Things aren't always as they seem. Most things are not as they seem. And certainly when it comes to the saints of God, the people of God, there's always a different perspective. I call it the kingdom perspective. Amen? And so I want to just move along here for about 30 minutes, and then we're going to take time to welcome all of our new members. And then we have a time of brief fellowship and refreshments, just fellowship with one another. We need to do that more. We need to do that more. It's in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 18 through 29. I'm not going to read all of that. I want you to be able to just know the references that I'm using. But I'm in the Message Bible. The writer there is talking about the things that God has done and how he has led the people. And yet he's speaking a clear word to them to help them recognize that God is a just God. He's merciful, but he's a just God, and that he has the ability oftentimes, whether we recognize it or not, where he is behind the scenes shaking things, moving things in order for his purposes to come to pass. And so I want to pick it up. It says this. Let me see here. My notes don't have numbers up there, Tracy, so you're just going to have to see where I'm at if you want to put it on the screen. The invisible Jerusalem is populated by throngs of festive angels and Christian citizens. It is the city where God, with a new covenant, a fresh charter from God. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. It is a city where God is judged with judgments that make us just. You've come to Jesus, who presents us with a new covenant, a fresh charter from God. He is the mediator of this covenant. The murder of Jesus, unlike Abel's, a homicide that cried out for vengeance, became a proclamation of grace. So don't turn a deaf ear to these gracious words. If those who ignored earthly warnings didn't get away with it, what will happen to us if we turn our backs on heavenly warnings? His voice that time shook the earth to its foundations. This time, he told us this quite plainly. He'll also rock the heavens. One last shaking from top to bottom, stem to stern. The phrase one last shaking means or denotes a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. Do you not see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. So we are living in this season. Make no mistake that things are shaking and things are shifting. And even in the church, that which is in the church that really is not a part of the church, that's not a part of the kingdom, is going to be done away with as well. And that's why I was talking with one of my brothers, a pastor. Some of you know Pastor Joe, Apostle Joel Brooks. And we were talking and we were talking about the message of the kingdom. And we were talking about how that certain times and seasons in the life of the church, God causes a word to come to the forefront. And it sets, if you will, another pillar or takes things to another level. And as we were talking, the thing I said to him, I said, I believe that we are living in the hour where the most prominent message will be that of kingdom. It'll be the message of kingdom, because at the end of the day, that's all we really have is the kingdom. At the end of the day, it will be the kingdom that is standing when all else has fallen. And so it's important for us to know how to navigate and how to live victoriously in the unshakable kingdom while everything around us seems to be shaken. I believe the message that God's going to begin to bring to the forefront will continue to be a message of purpose and destiny, of victory. One of the things that he and I were talking about was pastoral ministry versus apostolic ministry, and we need both. That's why in Ephesians, when it talks about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, we need all of them. But he said, pastors focus on the sheep and how to live. Apostles focus on the church on how to fulfill purpose and destiny. We need them both. We need the how do you live this, but we also need the speaking into lives, the affirming of purpose and destiny. You need somebody that can speak into your life. You may have gone a great portion of your life not really recognizing or knowing who you were until you came into the presence of an apostle who could look at you, who could speak prophetically and help you recognize that which you've been going through, that which you've been enduring. The reason why your challenges have been so hard has been because this is your assignment. This is what God has purposed to do in you and through you. Now, you need to understand and know how to live out day-to-day life, how to live victoriously, how to live in holiness and righteousness. I choose to believe you're doing that. I choose to believe you're getting that. But by and large, in the church, in the body of Christ, and again, we need all of it, many believers will go a great portion of their life without any real sense of purpose and destiny. That's why the message of just getting saved and going to heaven doesn't work anymore. Because there was a time, when it felt like he can come any moment. He can come any moment. You remember the season of that word? And he can come any moment. Don't get me wrong. He can come any moment. But some folks got so focused on that they quit their jobs. Some folks got so focused on that that they didn't plan for the future because all they started thinking about heaven, he's going to come any moment, he's going to come any moment. But when you read the book and you read the whole book, you'll understand that your life isn't just about getting saved and going to heaven. It's coming into a place of purpose and destiny. My assignment is to help you come into that understanding, equip you to walk it out, and then help you to do that. And so I endeavor to hear from God in ways, and I am very much given to compassion. Those of you that know me, you know that I will cry with you. I will lay hands on you. I will walk with you. And I do that, and I will continue to do that. But after a while, I'm going to say, okay, you got yourself together. Now get back in there. Step back in that arena. I know you got knocked down, you little buddy, but we got you fixed back up. You're stronger now. You're wiser. You know to duck the next time that punch comes. It's about recognizing the assignment. And so when I talk about living victoriously in the unshakable kingdom, it's with the hope that we come into a greater revelation of in the midst of everything that's going on, we are a part, you are a part of the unshakable kingdom. The unshakable kingdom. Doesn't mean you don't feel something in your emotions sometimes in your body, but you are a part of the unshakable kingdom. And at some point, you really can call those things that be not as though they were. You can speak to situations and say, you will align yourself with the kingdom that I am a part of. Can I get about seven more of y'all to clap with the two that's clapping? There's four things that I talked about that we must be able to manage in the unshakable kingdom, meaning as you're living out this place of the unshakable kingdom, you've got to be able to manage these four different areas. These are just four areas. There may be more areas, but this is my teaching. There's the information that you have to manage. There's the observation that you have to manage. There's the implication that you have to manage. And then there's the application that you have to manage. When we talk about information, it's the knowledge that you get about something or someone or something, facts or details about a subject. Now, one of the reasons why I believe God has brought this to my attention and wants to bring it to our attention is because now we've got this buzzword out there called the narratives. The narratives. Now, they've been out there. They've always been out there. Many folks don't recognize that people are paid to write the narratives. They're paid to script things in a certain way in order to convey a certain message. And what we have to be mindful of is that not all the narratives are true. Okay? Not all the narratives are true. I spent a little bit of time on the thought relative to you. Don't believe the false narratives. Write your own. Don't believe the false narratives. Write your own. But it has to do with knowledge that we receive and then how we manage that information, how we manage the information that comes to us. I talked about the women who reported back to the disciples, how that the women went to the tomb expecting to find the body of Jesus so they could anoint the body. But they were dealing with a false narrative. They were dealing with information they had from past times that when somebody died, when they were dead, their body stayed there. But they weren't listening to Jesus' narrative. They weren't listening to the words that he was speaking, the information he was pouring out to help them recognize. Now, I know it's going to look a certain way. Now, I'm talking about the observation. You got to manage the observation. A statement about something or something you have noticed. A comment or remark relative to something you notice by watching or listening. So you can be looking at something, but if you're not careful, you walk away with false information. You've got to be able to manage the information and the observation. What Jesus was trying to help them understand is, look, it's going to get a little crazy here. As a matter of fact, this is what he said in John 16, 23, 32 and 33. John 16, 32, 33. It says, but the hour is coming and has already come. For you will be scattered, each to his own home, to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Now, we listen, we get that part. In the world you will have tribulations, take courage, I have overcome the world. We quote that a lot. But in the context of what he's saying is the gravity of what he's saying. He says, behold, an hour is coming and is already here for you to be scattered, each to his own home, to leave me alone. What he's saying is, it's about to get rough. It's about to get tight, and you're going to leave me. And it will appear that I'm by myself, but I'm not by myself. My Father is with me. He says, I'm letting you know this so that when it starts to happen, you won't get all shook up like everybody else. The world is shook up right now by a whole lot of stuff that's going on. But we who are the church, we who are a part of God's kingdom, the unshakable kingdom, yes, we're walking out this worldly life like everybody else. But the scripture says, be in the world, not of the world, meaning that there are certain things going on in the world that while they may have some impact, some effect, they will not impact and affect us the same way, because we reside in an unshakable kingdom. Jesus was saying, I'm telling you this now so that you will not be shook up when it happens. I'm telling you this now. What Jesus was doing was, he was speaking prophetically to them. Say prophetically. Come on. He was speaking prophetically to them. He's speaking prophetically to them, and therein is the blessing of the word, being able to know the word, being able to study the word, being able to have history in the word and in the scriptures. Some things you don't really need to walk that thing out to get that experience. You can get it by revelation. There is a place in God where you can walk, and because you, one, you do have history with God, but secondly, you got a revelation of God that causes you to be able to stand resolute in the unshakable kingdom while everybody else is falling apart. Information comes to you. It could be a financial challenge, a health challenge, or anything, and everybody else is falling apart, but you've got history. You've been able to find a root and a foundation in the word of God that causes you to be able to stand no matter what. And no matter what it looks like on the outside, on the inside, you have peace.
On the inside, you have peace. And you're able to walk in that place. It's confusing to people. It's confusing to people. But when that information comes, you can rely on the word of God. And for many, you can rely on the prophetic word that's been brought to you. How many of you found yourself in a season where you go back and read those prophetic words? Okay, because you're finding yourself where it feels like, man, things are just kind of getting crazy here. So every now and then, and I thank God for the kind of relationship I have with the Father. Like the brother that called me last night and said, I got a word for you. I look at that and says, my Father loves me enough to make sure I'm going to bring another word to you to keep you focused. I'm going to bring another word to you. Okay. Don't know this man from Adam. Only seen him one time in my life. But the things he spoke to me, I knew only God could tell him to say those things. So we see the reality of the word, and I want to encourage you in understanding some things through Exodus 14. So pull that up. I want to go to Exodus 14. I want to end out this time with a few points around this place of living in the unshakable kingdom. Now, I do understand that the revelation of the kingdom was not in the Old Testament. It wasn't with Israel. But it's still the same God. It's still the same kingdom in operation. It just hadn't become visible yet. I'm sorry, Tracy, I'm moving kind of fast. There's another scripture I want to put up there right before that one. 2 Peter 1. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 19 through 21, it says this. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Let me say it again. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention. Say pay attention. Come on, say pay attention. We have prophetic ministry at the end of our services for our first time guests. Many of you receive prophetic ministry. And we would all do well to pay attention. Why? It's as a light shining in a dark place. Say a dark place. Any of you ever felt that, like you're just in a dark place? And now when I say a dark place, I don't mean like the lights are out. I'm talking about a dark place because you can't see. You're trying to figure it out. But it's kind of dark. It's kind of cloudy. It's kind of overcast. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? It says here, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns, until the day dawns, until the day dawns. You see, this word helps you and I live in a place where we're not shook by the things that are going on, even while everything else is shaking around us, because we've been able to walk in a place that through the prophetic word, faith is activated. Through the prophetic words, faith is activated. And I like to think of, the scripture says that we live by faith and, the just shall live by faith. And so there are these times, and many of you may find yourself there even now, where you feel like you're in a dark place because you just can't see. You can't see it yet. 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 I don't always know. I don't always know. But I have joyful expectation. I don't always know, but I have joyful expectation because I know he loves me. I have joyful expectation because I know what he's done over and over and how that he has kept me. I have joyful expectation. The prophetic word, the word that comes, has the ability, though, to illuminate and to shine light even during the dark seasons until the day dawns. And I liken it to those night goggles that you see those guys wear. Yeah, those night goggles. And there are times, listen to me. There are times when God will strategically put you in the dark while he's working. He will put you in the dark while he's working. He'll put you in the dark so that you have to rely on your faith. I like some of those movies, Pastor Arnold. You know what I'm talking about, where they come in at night, then they come in on the copters and they drop down, and when they hit the ground, You know, now it's pitch black, can't see nothing. But they flip them things down, took. Now they see everything moving before it sees them. That's what faith will do for you. That's what operating out of the kingdom will do for you. I might buy a pair and just bring them in here. See if they really work. You do well to pay attention. There's times when you must remind yourself. You must remind yourself. Because it's as a light shining in a dark place. Until the day dawns. They go into those places. They got those night goggles on. They're able to see Larry. But when they walk into the light, they turn them things off. They flip them up. Because they don't need him anymore. Because now we can see what's going on. And I'm just saying to some of you right now, don't allow yourself to become shaken by the situation. Don't allow yourself to become shook by the things that are going on or the things that are seemingly not going on. Because here's the reality. In the night season, it's not dark everywhere. Yeah. See, in the night season, it's not dark everywhere. And it surely doesn't mean God is not working. Selah, let's just pause right there. That's a good quote right there, Jamal. Yeah, some of y'all need to just act like you're taking a picture of that one right there. In the night season, it's not dark everywhere. One of the things I love about having an international ministry and international travel is that you learn to recognize it's not dark everywhere. So I can be in Singapore at 12 midnight. It's 12 noon here. I can be in South Africa. I would say right about now, I think it's about, 7 o'clock in the evening. They're about 6-7 hours ahead of us. One night I was on the phone talking with a pastor from over there in South Africa. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning here. Hey, what time is there? I was about 7 in the morning. You learn to adapt to that, though. Because it has to do with capacity. Some things only get done when you recognize what's being done in other places, other times. In the night season, it's not dark everywhere. And one of the things that I want to show you here very quickly, in Exodus the 14th chapter, God has worked to set his people free. You get to Exodus chapter 14. Now they're released. One of the things that I want to encourage you by, is this. Even when you are challenged by someone else's dealings with you that are not just and right, pray for them. Because you don't know how God is using them for your good. Whoo. I almost sat down on that one. See, listen to me. In Exodus, when Moses went to Pharaoh, and he said, God said, let my people go. And you remember, there were 10 plagues. Now, I don't want to get into all the plagues, but I can tell you this. Had not God sovereignly moved on Pharaoh's heart? Listen to me. Stay with me. Pharaoh would have let them go a whole lot sooner. You're like, what? Wasn't that the goal? No, that wasn't the goal. Not completely. That's why you can never get stuck on one facet of what God is doing. No, God was setting something up that was going to be so complete that when it was done, it was done. And so you read into so many other plagues, Pharaoh was ready to let him go. What's the scripture say? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So not to let them go. Think about that. I'm trying to get you to recognize how powerful our God is. That even sometimes, listen, sometimes you're praying, you're crying out for something, and it isn't happening. And you're looking at that person like it's the devil, it's the devil, when God is saying, no, I'm holding them right there, because when this thing is done, it's going to be all the way done. And what God was doing was he was going to break that system. He was going to break Pharaoh. And so plague after plague after plague after plague after plague. I believe once it got to a certain point, like they had them boils and stuff on them. I mean, I believe about that point, he was like, that's enough for me. Y'all need to get on up out of here. But that's not what happened. As a matter of fact, there was for them a night season. In Exodus 10, verse 20, 21 through 23, it says this. Moses stretched out his hand in the skies. It says, thick darkness descended on the land of Egypt for 3 days. Nobody could see anybody. You ever been in a room that's so dark that you can't even see your hand? That's scary. I've been in one situation one time like that, where you're in the room and it's so dark you can't even see your hand in front of it like this. You know, you're trying to, you know, you can't see. It says this though. This is how great our God is. For 3 days, no one could see so much as move except for the Israelites. They had light where they were living. It's called the Goshen factor. Down in Goshen, they were all lit up. How does that happen? Because light travels. But how does that happen? Only the God of creation can cause darkness to be everywhere. Hold light right here. Says you will illuminate right here and go no further. They will not benefit from what I'm doing right now with you. And sometimes what God will do, it'll be dark all around you, but he'll let just enough light for you to be able to see and to know what he's doing. And so I'm wrapping this up. And so in Exodus 14, he breaks him. He breaks Pharaoh, and Pharaoh lets him go. It says God made Pharaoh king of Egypt stubborn. Now here's the point. Pharaoh is broken. Why is he broken? Because of the last plague, the firstborn of every family, the firstborn die. Pharaoh's son is dead. He's broken. That was what God used to let the people go. God set it up in a way because he said, when they go, they're going to leave out with possessions. Now you remember, that was the word that was prophesied for 400 years ago. When they leave, 400 years, don't get stuck on the 2 or 3 years you've been waiting. Now I need to say that to myself, hold on. Don't get stuck on the 3 or 4 years you've been waiting, okay. You know, it's kind of like funny when you're preaching, you know, you're preaching to yourself at the same time. It's like, give me a moment. I need to say amen right now for myself. But 400 years later, God says, okay, I'm gonna set you free, but I'm going to do it exactly the way I said. But in order for that to happen, I'm going to have to harden his heart and harden his heart. I'm going to have to get him to the point where he is just so angry, and then I'm going to break him. And he's going to let you go. He's going to be so broken, he's not even going to try to stop you from taking all his stuff with you. And that's exactly what they did. However, this is how great our God is. I'm going to have to do a part two on this. This is how great our God is. He tells Moses, you tell some of the folk to step back a little bit and camp over such and such, so and so. See, when you read the passage, what you find, it says, when he brought them out, I'm trying to see if I have it here in my notes. When he brought them out, he recognized that they were not ready for war. He says he could have took them by way of the Philistines, which was closer. But he said, but if they're faced with war, they may turn around and go back to Egypt. See, God knows what challenges you. So he'll prepare you on the front end, so that once you're faced with it, you can handle it. Because all too often, hear me now, some of the things some of you have had to go through
that nobody knows about the challenging times, the difficult times, have been part of your making, so that when you step into the place of purpose and destiny and you're challenged by what you see, there is such a fortitude built on the inside of you that you won't stop for anything. And God knew that if they're going to make it, I got to take them by way of the wilderness, because they're not ready for war. And I don't want them to opt out to go back to Egypt. Go back to the familiar. And so God sets them free by his hand. He says, send men back. Have them camp in the location that he told them, so that Pharaoh will think they're lost in the wilderness. And the word says, now this is how great our God is. The word says that Pharaoh got word that they were out there and says, the wilderness has swallowed them up. And then it says, God caused Pharaoh to be stubborn again and hardened his heart to go after them. Now, here's a man that's broken. He ain't trying to get close to him. But now, God hardens his heart again. Plague one, hardened his heart. Plague two, hardened his heart. Plague three, plague four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, hardened his heart. 10, broken. Let him go. Then he says, now I'm going to get maximum glory out of this. Make them think you're lost. Make them think you're lost. I'm going to make him mad to come after you. And then you will see one of the greatest demonstrations of my power in the earth. We'll pick up part two next week. Would you thank the Lord for his word? Hallelujah.